"I thought wizards knew all about trees and wild food and things," said Two-Flower reproachfully. It was very seldom that anything in his voice suggested that he thought of Rincewind as anything other than a magnificent enchanter, and the wizard was stung into action. "I do, I do," he snapped. "Well, what kind of tree is this?" said the tourist. Rincewind looked up. "Beech," he said firmly. "Actually," began the tree, and shut up quickly. It had caught Rincewind's look. "Those things up there look like acorns," said Two-Flower. "Yes, well, this is the sessile or heptacarpic variety," said Rincewind. "The nuts look very much like acorns. In fact, they can fool practically anybody."
"Gosh,"
said Two-Flower. "And what's that bush over there?"
"Mistletoe."
"But it's got thorns and red berries."
"Well,"
said Rincewind sternly, and stared hard at him. Two-Flower broke first.
"Nothing," he said meekly. "I must have been misinformed."
"Right."
"But there's some big mushrooms under it. Can you eat them?"
Rincewind looked at them cautiously. They were indeed very big, and had red and white spotted caps. They were in fact a variety that the local shaman, who at this point was some miles away making friends with a rock, would only eat after first attaching one leg to a large stone with a rope. There was nothing for it but to go out in the rain and look at them. He knelt down in the leaf mould and peered under the cap. After a while, he said weakly, "No, no good to eat at all."
"Why?"
called Two-Flower.
"Are the gills the wrong shade of yellow?"
"No, not really."
"I expect the stems haven't got the right kind of fluting, then."
"They look okay, actually."
"The cap, then. I expect the cap is the wrong colour," said Two-Flower.
"Not sure about that."
"Well, then, why can't you eat them?"
Rincewind coughed. "It's the little doors and windows," he said wretchedly. "It's a dead giveaway."
Thunder rolled across the unseen university. Rain poured over its roofs and gurgled out of its gargoyles, although one or two of the more cunning ones had scuttled off to shelter among the maze of tiles. Far below, in the great hall, the 8 most powerful wizards on the Discworld gathered at the angles of a ceremonial octagram. Actually, they probably weren't the most powerful, if truth were known, but they certainly had great powers of survival, which in the highly competitive world of magic was pretty much the same thing. Behind every wizard of the 8th rank were half a dozen 7th rank wizards trying to bump him off, and senior wizards had to develop an inquiring attitude to, for example, scorpions in their bed. An ancient proverb summed it up. "When a wizard is tired of looking for broken glass in his dinner," it ran, "he is tired of life." The oldest wizard, Greyhald Spold of the ancient and truly original Sages of the Unbroken Circle, leaned heavily on his carven staff and spake thusly.
"Get on with it, Weatherwax! My feet are giving me jip!"
Golder, who had merely paused for effect, glared at him.
"Very well, then. I will be brief."
"Jolly good."
"We all sought guidance as to the events of this morning. Can anyone among us say he received it?"
The wizards looked sidelong at one another. Nowhere outside a trades union conference fraternal benefit night can so much mutual distrust and suspicion be found as among a gathering of senior enchanters. But the plain fact was that the day had gone very badly. Normally, informative demons, summoned abruptly from the dungeon dimensions, had looked sheepish and sidled away when questioned. Magic mirrors had cracked. Tarot cards had mysteriously become blank. Crystal balls had gone all cloudy. Even tea leaves, normally scorned by wizards as frivolous and unworthy of contemplation, had clustered together at the bottom of cups and refused to move. In short, the assembled wizards were at a loss. There was a general murmur of agreement.
"And therefore I propose we perform the rite of Ashk-Ente," said Golder dramatically.
He had to admit that he had hoped for a better response, something along the lines of, well,
"No, not the rite of Ashk-Ente. Man was not meant to meddle with such things."
In fact, there was a general mutter of approval.
"Good idea."
"Seems reasonable. Well, get on with it, then."
Slightly put out, he summoned a procession of lesser wizards who carried various magical implements into the hall. It has already been hinted that around this time there was some disagreement among the fraternity of wizards about